Greetings and good morning. For KVNF Mountain Grown Community Radio, my name is Eric Gould. It's 8 o'clock. Here is your local newscast for Wednesday, November 7th. In yesterday's election, Colorado voters approved all three ballot measures. It is now legal in Colorado for people over the age of 21 to smoke marijuana recreationally. Voters passed Amendment 64, making Colorado the first state in the country, along with Washington State, to legalize pot. Benta Berkland has more from Denver.
Several hundred supporters of marijuana legalization filled a bar in downtown Denver to watch last night's election results. Signs warned people not to smoke marijuana on the premises, and the diverse crowd mingled and sat at tables with balloons. Everyone cheered as the results came in. Colorado voters defeated a similar proposal 6 years ago, and proponents of Amendment 64 say legalization is a long time coming. Brian Vicente is one of the co-chairs of the campaign to regulate marijuana like alcohol. He says the current marijuana laws feed an underground market and unfairly punish people for using a drug he argues is safer than alcohol.
Coloradans are common sense people. They understand that marijuana prohibition has failed. The war on drugs has been a horrible policy disaster. Coloradans have decided to try a new path forward.
The Denver Post conducted several opinion polls that showed fluctuating support for the amendment, but it passed by a sizable 6-point margin. Vicente says the outcome is a win-win for everyone.
We're going to produce a ton of tax revenue for the state. There's going to be new jobs. We're going to redirect law enforcement resources towards more serious crime, and Colorado can lead the nation.
There's still a lot of uncertainty surrounding the measure. Under the amendment, cities and towns would be allowed to ban marijuana sales, but it's not clear how the state would regulate marijuana retail stores. Roger Sherman heads the No on 64 campaign. He says the measure doesn't belong in the state constitution.
It gives us no flexibility on implementation. That has been one of our number one concerns.
There was a broad coalition of opponents, from business groups to addiction specialists, who worried legalization would cause more young people to smoke marijuana. Sherman also says he thinks marijuana legalization sends the wrong message about Colorado.
Colorado is known as a very healthy state. We attract the best and the brightest, both of human capital and corporations, and this is not the kind of issue that we want to be known for.
The No on 64 campaign was significantly outspent, and supporters of marijuana legalization say Colorado and Washington State are just the first step. But Governor John Hickenlooper, who opposed the amendment, noted that marijuana is still illegal under federal law. He told voters not to break out the Cheetos or goldfish too quickly. I'm Benta Berkland in Denver.
Voters in Colorado also heartily endorsed Amendment 65, dealing with campaign finance limits, with 73% of the vote. And Amendment S, which overhauled the state personnel system, also passed, with about 55% of the vote. Governor John Hickenlooper, who pushed for the measure, released the following statement last night in response to Amendment S's passage. Quote, "We are grateful voters saw the benefits in overhauling the state's outdated personnel system. The changes approved today will improve delivery of services and give our veterans more opportunities to compete for state jobs." Unquote. Democrats now have control of both chambers of the Colorado State Legislature, putting the GOP in the back seat when it comes to the next legislative session. Republicans had hoped to expand their one-seat advantage in the House of Representatives. Benta Berkland has more from Denver.
Democrats picked up at least 2 seats in the House and will hold a majority in that chamber when the legislature convenes next year. Democrats are expected to elect House Minority Leader Mark Ferrandino of Denver as their next speaker. Ferrandino spoke to supporters at the Democratic Watch Party in downtown Denver.
Thanks to each and every one of you in this room and people across the state for the work that you've done, the doors that you've knocked, the dollars you've donated. We can proudly put back Democrats in the majority of the House of Representatives.
Yeah! Ferrandino will be Colorado's first openly gay Speaker of the House. He's well-liked on both sides of the aisle, and last legislative session was a main sponsor of a bill to create civil unions. The measure failed on the final night of the session after a Republican-led filibuster. Democrats, including Ferrandino, have vowed to pass civil unions.
We are not going to run the House like we saw this last year. We're going to run it so the people of Colorado can be proud of their House of Representatives.
Republican Speaker of the House Frank McNulty of Highlands Ranch says the strength of the Democratic presidential ground game hurt the GOP.
Across the country and here in Colorado, you have a clearly divided electorate. And I don't think either side can predict a mandate, can talk about having a mandate.
Democrats also held on to their majority in the state Senate. It's been 2 years since Democrats controlled both legislative chambers and the governor's office. I'm Benta Berkland in Denver.
On the Western Slope, Republican incumbent Scott Tipton kept his seat in the Congress with 54% of the vote, while Democrat Sal Pace came up close with 41%. Here are the results for the Colorado State House races in our area. In District 61, Democratic incumbent Millie Hamner kept her seat in a very tight race, getting just 50% of the vote over Republican Deborah Irvin, Independent Kathleen Curry, and Libertarian Ellen Temby, and American Constitutionalist Robert Petrosky. In District 55, Republican incumbent Ray Scott won 58% of the vote, beating out Democrat Dan Robinson and Libertarian Virgil Fenn. In District 58, Republican incumbent Don Corum has been reelected with 66% of the vote over Democrat Tammy Tice and Libertarian Jeff Downs. In District 54, Republican Jared Wright won over Libertarian Tim Menger, securing 58% of the vote. In District 59, Republican incumbent Paul Brown and Democrat Mike McLaughlin are closely tied for the seat, with McLaughlin edging in front of Brown with 50.6% of the vote as of late last night. Unofficial results are in for most counties in the KVNF listening area. In Delta County, Republican Bruce Hovde took the Commissioner District 2 seat unopposed. Republican Mark Rober beat out Democrat Scott Wilson, taking 73% of the vote. All three local ballot issues, including eliminating term limits on the sheriff and coroner, passed. In Montrose County, Republican incumbent Ron Henderson beat out unaffiliated Julie Messenger for the District 1 commissioner seat, garnering 54% of the vote. In District 3, Republican incumbent David White got 52% of the vote, narrowly beating out Democrat Kirsten Davis. In Montrose County ballot issues, the Measure 2A, extending a 1% sales tax to provide 24-hour emergency medical care in NUCLA, passed with 78% support. Measure 2B, to post bills and statements at town hall instead of publishing them, failed, with only 40% of the voters approving it. And Measure 3A, a mill levy increasing taxes to match a state best grant for schools, failed, only getting 25% approval from voters. In Ouray County, Democratic incumbent Lynn Padgett edged out a win over Republican Jack Flowers for the District 1 commissioner seat. The District 3 commissioner race is almost too close to call. Republican Don Batch Elder and unaffiliated Pat Willits are neck and neck, with Batch Elder squeaking out 50.9% of the vote as of late last night. In San Miguel County, Democrat Elaine Fisher has been reelected to the District 1 commissioner seat with 81% of the vote. For District 3 commissioner, incumbent Green candidate Art Goodtimes has won with 48% in a close race against Democrat Dan Chancellor, who secured 40% of the vote. San Miguel County's mill levy for schools passed with 75%. In Mesa County, in the District 1 commissioner race, Republican John Justman beat two unaffiliated candidates with 62% of the vote. In District 2, Republican Rose Pugliese beat out Democrat David Edwards with 66% of the vote. Ballot issues dealing with dissolving the Central Grand Valley Sanitation District and adding new areas to the Grand River Mosquito Control District passed, but a mill levy for the Plateau Valley School District just barely failed. Votes were split 49.1% to 50.9% against the measure. The Denver District Attorney has launched a criminal investigation of Secretary of State Scott Gessler. The investigation launched Monday afternoon, the same day the Colorado Independent Ethics Commission voted to begin an investigation into whether Gessler violated the law by using state funds to attend a partisan event. The Denver Post reports that the commission unanimously decided that the complaint filed against Republican Gessler by liberal-leaning Colorado Ethics Watch was not frivolous and should be investigated by staff. Ethics Watch has asked the district attorney to conduct a criminal investigation into whether Gessler misused state funds. The commission also decided to investigate a separate complaint by Colorado Ethics Watch that Gessler improperly took money from his office's discretionary account. Gessler was unavailable for comment, but his spokesman, Rich Coolidge, told the Post, quote, "We welcome a thorough review," end quote. The case between Delta County and opponents of two laying hen operations in the county is finally settled, for now. KVNF's Ariana Brocious has more.
Last week, a district court judge ruled in favor of the plaintiffs, awarding them the cost of the lawsuit. The plaintiffs filed their suit against the county in August 2011, after the county approved two laying hen house operations on Powell and Redlands mesas. In July, the judge ruled that the county had abused its discretion based on insufficient evidence in the record and ordered the county to review its decision again. After gathering further evidence and public testimony, 2 weeks ago, the county reaffirmed its decision, upholding its approval for the hen houses, one of which is already built and operational on Powell Mesa. Last Thursday's ruling puts an end to the lawsuit filed against the county in 2011. Earl Rhodes, attorney for the plaintiffs, says they will be sending a bill of costs to the county in the next 2 weeks. But lead plaintiff Susan Raymond, a veterinarian on Powell Mesa, says she plans to continue fighting the county. Rhodes says the plaintiffs have until mid-November to file another complaint based on the county's recent decision upholding their approval of the hen houses. For KVNF News, I'm Ariana Brocious.
And finally today, San Miguel Power Association has scheduled two separate power outages this week in order to complete construction of the new Norwood substation. The first occurred this morning, affecting Norwood and surrounding areas. The second will occur tomorrow morning and will affect all areas west of Redvale all the way out to Paradox. Each outage is scheduled to last 1 hour, starting at 1 a.m. And that concludes your local newscast for Wednesday. For KVNF Mountain Grown Community Radio, I'm Eric Gould. Have a great hump day, and thanks so much for listening.